Welcome back to the Golf Shop. Mark Greenhalgh, Mike Forsenalis today. And this segment's brought to you by Charlotte Comfort Systems, where your comfort is their business. Call 704-366-1661 or log on to charlottecomfortsystems.com. And don't forget, Charlotte Comfort Systems has a best price guarantee. All right, well, we're going down to Florida, the Orlando area, and bringing on the Director of Instruction at Bay Hill, Mr. John O'Leary. John, welcome into the Golf Shop.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
So I got to ask you, are you guys ready for next week or what?
I'm sorry?
Are you guys ready for next week? You ready for the tournament?
Oh, yes.
All right, so has anybody snuck in there and been playing? Do you guys allow that for the tour guys that maybe aren't teeing it up this week? Have they snuck in and started playing some practice yet?
I haven't seen anyone yet. I know there's a few guys that are playing next week in the event that are playing in our daily shootout game today.
Ah.
But I haven't seen anyone prior to today anyway.
What's the daily shootout?
Well, once upon a time, Mr. Palmer and some of his friends would get together and maybe or maybe not put some money in a pot and organize teams, and off they would go. It might be a quota game. Might be any sort of couple different games, I suppose. And then at the end, they'd go in the locker room and they'd figure out who won. And back, let's see, I've been here 20 years. So I would say back in the 90s, it wouldn't be uncommon to see some major champions playing in the event when they were taking a week off.
Ah, I like it. I like it. Just a little friendly wager. You know, milkshakes and cookies, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Arnold Palmer tees.
You know, I'm still very disappointed because back when I was 17 years old, we went to Florida every year. I used to live in Massachusetts. Went to Florida every year, and we actually were going to go play Bay Hill. My dad was a club pro up in Massachusetts, and we were going to go play Bay Hill that year. I ended up having an appendectomy, and all I could do was ride around in the cart. So I've been very disappointed ever since that I never got to play Bay Hill. Still want to do it one of these days. But what has changed in this course over the years that's made it more difficult and so much more fun to watch on TV?
Well, it's let's see, how would you describe it? I guess it was about 9 years ago they redid the bunkering. So now when you're standing on the tee boxes and you're standing in the fairways, you can see the bunkers. Some of them got bigger. Mr. Palmer moved some of them out further so that guys couldn't hit it over them. Somebody like me, now I can't reach some of them, so that that was good. I was happy to see some of them moved further. And then just this past summer, they killed all the grass on the fairways, the tees, and the greens, and they regrassed it. So this year when you watch the tournament on TV, our greens are going to be rolling very nice. The rough, unfortunately, for those that hit it sideways, are going to be penalized severely. It is very lush. We've had a lot of nice weather for growing grass.
So Matt Every winning last year at 19 under, that's not going to happen because we got a little bit different conditions this year.
I'm going to take the under on that.
Can he win three times in a row? I mean, there are horses for courses. It seems like Matt Every's a Bay Hill guy.
Well, he clearly has proven the last 2 years that he's a Bay Hill guy. You know, I mean, they all hit it far and they all hit it high, but I would tell you the ones that hit it further and higher and straighter, I like their chances. So I wouldn't bet against Matt, but there are some other guys that seem to be coming into form, and I would think this golf course kind of suits them. I mean, if you think of Tiger winning all the times he won, he hits it pretty far, hits it pretty high, and knows how to manage his game. So somebody that's really kind of coming into form with their ball striking and their course strategy, I think, be a pretty good favorite to slip on our jacket next Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, you look at a guy like Henrik Stenson, who last year finished second, one shot behind Matt Every. I mean, he is a long hitter, especially for the fact that he hits a three-wood, and he's pretty straight. I think he's one of the leaders always in total driving, which is the combination of length and accuracy. So you got to look at somebody who does, you know, does it like he does it, long, straight, keep it out of that tough rough that you're talking about this year.
He would be on my list of people to watch, and then there's a certain guy from Northern Ireland that's coming back to play at Bay Hill, and with his new left-hand low putting stroke, he might not be so bad. And then, you know, we've got Adam Scott. He's going for his own three-peat.
True.
And, you know, he's got the new course record. A couple years ago, I think he shot 62. So, you know, it should be a good week. The golf course is really in as fine a condition as I've ever seen it in the 20 years working here. And, I mean, I've seen it in good condition before, but it's really looking good.
Yeah, you know, we've actually had a debate the last couple weeks when Mike's been in here with me is, you know, Adam Scott and has he turned the corner with the putting? And I'm still on the fence with this. I know he's won twice. But the thing is, I look at he is hitting the ball so good. He's hitting it so close so often that you're bound to knock some putts in at some point. I kind of want to see him, if he's turned the corner when he's not really hitting it good, if he can still shoot that, you know, 3 or 4 under par on a day that maybe he's not hitting it as close. That's what I want to see out of Adam Scott. But, you know, when you talk about redoing the course from a green perspective, did they change any of the contours of the green? Are we going to see anything different in terms of, you know, maybe some new pin placements that we need to pay attention to as we watch the coverage?
Well, they GPSed the green, so, you know, I believe that they will say that the greens are the same. Now, if you polled some of our members that are going to be finishing, you know, sometime after lunch today, they might tell you that certain holes they think the greens break more, and then there's other ones where they swear they break less. And my contention is that they're fooled by their eyes, and they're not paying attention to what maybe the slope is telling them under their feet. So I would say there will be some different opportunities for hole locations based on how healthy the greens are. I mean, I think in the past we've had some good hole locations that maybe we couldn't use because of some of the traffic on the greens from the play leading up to the tournament. But the way the greens are now, as healthy as they are, I think you might see a few different hole locations, but on Sunday on 18, you get a pretty good idea where that hole is going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be right down there over by the rocks. We're going to see some balls bouncing around into the hazard, and it's going to be fun to watch. All right, before we get into instruction, and again, we're talking with the director of instruction at Bay Hill, Mr. John O'Leary, is joining us. When we start talking about various things around this golf course and different holes, being there for 20 years, if you're going to watch the golf tournament and you're going to pick a hole that you're going to go, you know, we always talk about at Augusta, all these people, they take their chairs, they rush out to a hole, they put their chair down, and they leave it there, and they may, you know, they may spend 90% of their day there. They may float around a little bit. But if I'm going to have you take a chair for the tournament, let's just say Sunday, and you're going to go out and you're going to sit at a hole all day, 20 years of experience there at Bay Hill, which hole are you sitting at?
Well, if I'm going to sit there all day, I would go park my chair to the right of the 7th tee, which is a par 3, because then you're going to be elevated, and if you've got binoculars, you can watch the guys tee off on 6 to see if they hit it in the water or they don't hit it in the water. You can watch them approach 6, and then you're close to them when they tee off on 7. So you've got an opportunity to see, you know, 3 full swings, and one of them you get to be fairly close. And there's certainly, you know, a fair amount of drama. I know in past, my wife and kids, they don't necessarily sit in one spot, but they like to go between the 2nd hole and the 8th hole and kind of go back and forth, watching them tee off on 2, to see if they, you know, hit the green or they're in the bunkers, either, you know, short or long. And then they can go back over to 8 and see if they manage to hit the green there, because every now and then the small pond in front of the 8th green tends to get a golf ball or two.
Nice. I like that. That's kind of an out of the box. You know, usually everybody's like, oh, you're going to go sit on, you know, 12 or 14 or 16 or something like that. I like that. I like being early in the round and with seeing if there's any carnage going on. Mike's always been a big guy of carnage. But all right. So let's talk about some instruction. You mentioned a certain Northern Irishman and Roy McIlroy and the left hand low. When you start working with people on putting. What is the advantage to the left-hand low? As we've seen Spieth do this and be successful and make lots of putts, and now Rory seems to be putting a little bit better. What's the advantage of left-hand low for our listeners?
Well, left-hand low, in my opinion, is a fantastic way to learn putting, or if you're having problems with your putting, because to me it really gives the right-handed golfer the opportunity to get their left arm and the putter really kind of one big unit. And so there are many that feel like they have more control holding the putter left-hand low. I taught a golf school last week to two couples, and I said, well, this is how, you know, you hold it, and I showed them the reverse overlap. And then one of them was maybe a little wristy, and so I switched her to left-hand low. And then next thing you know, the other gal was like, well, wait, what's that? And then the guy switched, too, and they were all like, this is awesome. And then they turned on the golf that night, and they saw Rory putting left-hand low, and they thought they were right on the cutting edge of golf instruction because I showed them left-hand low.
Well, there you have it. I mean, you are cutting-edge instruction, right?
Well, I'd like to think, you know, I use good fundamentals that Mr. Palmer's father stressed to him, and I'm not afraid to, you know, use some different technology or ideas to help get those fundamentals set a little deeper into the hard drives that people walk around with.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that, you know, as we become more technology-based in teaching and in learning, for me, there's always that fine line. I mean, I was talking about it earlier. I honestly hate seeing my swing on video and breaking it down frame by frame because I think I become too much of a technical person and less of a feel player. And I just assume somebody kind of say, you know, watch me swing, stand behind me, say, okay, yeah, you're aimed a little too far left, or you're a little closed here and a little open there, and just verbally give me clues and say, yep, that's the one right there. If you can remember how that one feels, how do you feel from an instruction standpoint? I mean, I know it goes person by person, but would you rather see people more feel or more technical?
Well, I think, you know, some of the techniques create feels, but, you know, those good fundamentals, I mean, if you're holding it with a good consistent grip and you've got good posture, I think we can create feels, and you don't necessarily have to see it to look at the golf ball and see that it's flying better. Now, you know, you could have a launch monitor, you can have some of these other things, and sure, you could show it, and that's very powerful information for a lot of people, but it's a game. You know, we're chasing a white ball around a park, trying to hit it into a hole. You know, when it comes right down to it, I don't know that you really need to know some of those things. I think having a feel, having a picture in your mind, you know, if you think you look like Rory or Adam Scott when you're swinging and you're hitting it well, I think that's great. You know, the more positive you can visualize things, the better off you are. Now, some people, like you said, are different, and they need to see a picture of it to validate that. But I think if we were less technical in general, we would probably, you know, be able to enjoy ourselves more when we're out there.
All right, John, before I let you go, what is the number on the regrassed golf course, Bay Hill, that's going to be the one that you would sit up maybe with a frosty mug on Sunday afternoon and you think is safe in the clubhouse? What's the number? What's the winning score?
Oh, I would say 13 under. For some reason, my head sounds like a good number.
I like it. I like it. So, yeah, so I like that. Just, you know, not extremely difficult, but, you know, five or six shots less than we normally see out there. I like it. I like it.
It's going to be a, you know, a stiff challenge, but it'll be a fair challenge, and the golfer or golfers that are, you know, hitting high quality shots and controlling their golf ball, they're gonna you know, make it look way, way easier than it would if you and I were out there.
Yeah, because those guys are good, just like the commercials say.
That is true.
All right, John. Well, man, I appreciate you hopping on with us today, and we look forward to a great event out at Arnie's Place next week.
All right. Thanks for having me, Mark.
All right. Thanks a lot. That is John O'Leary, Director of Instruction at Bay Hill. And when we come back, Cubby 2.5, Walker and I are going to do a little shop talk. So stick around for that. Mark Greenhalgh, you're listening to the Golf Shop Radio Network.